Hi, and welcome to another one of our little podcasts. Today we're going to look at Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 through 38, where we read the following. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into his harvest." Now, when we look at prayer and we're trying to understand what prayer is, we see that the Lord frequently teaches his disciples that they must pray and also how to pray, but very seldom does he teach them what to pray. This he left to their sense of need and the leading of the Holy Spirit. But here we have one thing that he expressly commands each of us to pray for. In view of the abundant harvest of souls and the need for those to reap that harvest, he asks that we cry out to the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. And we only need to look at the shortage of priests and religious vocations in the Catholic Church today to see the great need that this particular type of praying or prayer request is necessary for. And just as in the parable that we talked about in the previous lesson about the friend at midnight, he wants us to understand that prayer is not something that is to be a selfish endeavor. It's not something that you pray only for yourself. You don't pray just so that you get cured of sickness, that you are no longer poor, that your family's not having certain problems, or that people that you care about don't go unsaved. It's supposed to be a bigger kind of desire, a desire for the entire church. And as our Father is the Lord of the harvest, we are to pray for the Holy Spirit in order that the Holy Spirit will prepare those that will be sent out to labor in the work. This goes not just for priests and good deacons in our communities, but also for other religious, like sisters, nuns, other religious vocations among the lay people, to be able to build up the church and to maintain it in a proper fashion that it ought to be. It's kind of strange that he has to ask his disciples to pray for this, and that he himself doesn't also pray for it, in the sense that we understand that it's more his prayer that accomplishes more than any others. But you see, the thing is, God decides to make us co-workers with him in his ministry and his doing things. That's kind of how he works. That's why we're heirs according to the promises. We're the ones that are to go out into all the world and preach the gospel, because he wants us to have a part in his work, not just merely see him do it, but that we ourselves are participants in it. And this kind of shows the deepest mystery of prayer and what the true power in the kingdom of God is and such. Because when we really understand why we have to pray in the first place, and it's not just God doing whatever without us asking, we really get to understand what prayer truly is. In fact, one of the things that it really sends home to us is how prayer is not an empty form or show of some kind of holiness. It's not something that a hypocrite can really do. It's why you can't pray vain repetitions or vain words, basically empty statements, and hope that just because you're saying all these empty statements, you get heard. There has to be some connection of your heart, your life, who you are, in with what you're praying for it to really be something effective. And when we really get this, it really shows us that what the whole blessing of prayer is. Because leading into this in Matthew 9:36, we read that Jesus saw the multitude. He was moved with compassion for them because they were scattered abroad as sheep not having a shepherd. And it's with this motivation that he calls his disciples to pray for laborers to be sent among them. He did this so that they could really see how they participate in his ministry in saving the lost. And it's really showing the reality of who we are. Because God shows through his word and through how he reveals stuff men like Abraham, Moses, Joshua, Samuel, Daniel, and others who had authority to do things in his name. And this is the same kind of authority and right that he tries to communicate into us so that we too can be co-laborers with him. I'm trying to think of what scripture that is in either 1st or 2nd Corinthians, but we are called to be ambassadors of Christ. We're working as representatives for him. And it's this whole thing where we really get to see how the work of God has really been entrusted to not just those who went before us, like Peter and Paul and Andrew and all those other apostles, but he entrusted to us. We're also to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And it's when we really understand that, that we see that it's not merely a form or a show or some type of religious exercise that we go to mass and participate. We're actually participating in something far greater than who we are as individuals. In fact, the single individual with the limitations of humanity is how Jesus relates to us in prayer, in seeing these wandering sheep and seeing that there's this great need to have those take care of them, and how we ourselves as individuals can participate in his high calling. So God entrusts us with his work and allows his work to be dependent upon each one of us as to how we participate in his calling. And it's to us that he gives the appeal that we seek these labors, that we seek good men to become priests, that women truly do seek religious vocations as either nuns or sisters, or as lay people, we have families and we also have abilities to do things at church through our lives, either through the Knights of Columbus, St. Vincent de Paul Society, and so forth, so that the laborers are truly there doing what God needs done in our lives and in our communities. And this is something where we get to see really how little compassion is in Christians when we really don't feel or mourn the need for laborers in the world, or how we just kind of pass it off, oh yeah, there's a priest shortage, whatever, who cares? Or yeah, somebody needs to shovel the snow or be at the fish fry or something like that at church. Where we really miss some of the great blessings where we ourselves are part of the work of God in the community and doing Tootsie Roll drives for the Knights of Columbus or big sales or even being scout leaders for the kids, giving them something to do, or youth ministers and stuff, where you don't have to be religious, but you can do something that is part of a building up in the church, like RCIA help and such like that. And when we really understand that the labor supply depends upon our prayer and how we ourselves seek to cooperate with God in the field of this laboring that he's commissioned us to, that we really start seeing how prayer truly does become answered and really make us part of the entire work. In fact, the lack of labor that we have is something that if we really don't look at the situation and really consider what's going on, we won't really understand the need to pray for this greater supply of ministers for the gospel. And in fact, I remember when I was a seminarian, they talked about how in the Diocese of Belleville at the time that I was there in 2016, there were a little over 100 parishes. I think 114 were active at the time I was in the diocese. And there was a plan to suppress or close down certain parishes because the number of priests that were available and the way of keeping them open and the actual attendance in those churches had dwindled so much that there was a recommendation from some outside source, I forget what off the top of my head, to the Bishop of Belleville, that they get down under 90 parishes. And he's put together a reconstruction plan trying to realign all the diocese parishes and try to cooperate with linking parishes with other parishes so that there can be some kind of help between the parishes to try to either keep them open or be able, if they had to suppress a parish and combine parishes like they've done in other dioceses, that they could do it with the least amount of difficulty or disruption in people's lives. And a lot of this had to do with the simple fact that when he looked in his diocese, he only had about 45 active priests, not counting the missionary priests that probably brought the total up around 65 or 70. And that's over 114 parishes, which meant there were a couple priests that had more than one parish. I believe that in some cases there was a shared three-parish plan for two different priests, where they would go around to each of the churches and try to celebrate Mass and do things. And one of the big urgencies in the diocese was the simple fact that there was a knowledge that by 2021 or 2022, that those 45 priests would be cut down around 30, because at least 15 of the priests that were in the diocese were either of failing health or reaching an age of retirement where they really couldn't do the duties anymore and needed to retire. And there weren't a whole lot of seminarians coming through the pike. At the time I was there, there was about 8 or 9 of us at max. I think currently there's only about 5 or 6. And it's kind of a sad reality going forward. But we have to pray for the laborers into the field. And too many of us, we're not burdened by the sheep wandering without a shepherd like Jesus was. And because of that, we don't really have faith in the Lord of the harvest to send laborers in answer to our prayer, because we don't have that conviction that there is this great need. I mean, even if we look at our school systems, part of the reason why Catholic schools cost so much nowadays is because you have to have lay people working in the schools, and they have needs beyond what the religious used to have. Because you used to be able to have a school with a bunch of nuns in there to defray the cost and keep education under $5,000 in a school year per child. In fact, there were a lot of differences between how schools were run as late as the 1990s and how they're run today. And it's kind of sad when you kind of compare the differences. And one of the biggest differences is the lack of religious vocations. Even going back to the 1950s, there was a lot more nuns in Catholic schools doing the education and basically living the religious life. And education was a lot cheaper of a cost than it is today when you have 18 lay people trying to keep a school of 8 grades open. And it's a big expense. So we do have to pray for these workers in the field. And we do have to understand the wonderful blessing that comes from surrendering to the work of God in His church, to our Father in prayer, and we really understand the need and really begin to see how great the need is and why we really need to be praying for it. In fact, we only need to obey this injunction from our heavenly Lord Jesus Christ to truly see the blessing of as many laborers as are necessary. But we have to first have the compassion that Jesus wants us to really be inspired to in this prayer, because that's when we really see the needs in our community and really understand what it is that we're being called to. Because when we don't have this compassion, we fail to really have that first commandment of loving one another as we're supposed to love ourselves and live entirely for God's glory as we ought to be. We need to accept and care and have concern for all the perishing ones that are in charge to the church by the Lord, and be part of that church in an active way, really caring about those. Because in accepting that the field of labor is something that requires our loving care and interest, we don't really find the true blessing in prayer that we're supposed to be finding. One of the reasons for the neglect of praying for laborers is a want of faith, and the will to have it revealed that God really does want results to happen in prayer. We don't live close enough to God, and we're not entirely given up to His service and to His kingdom to be capable of the kind of confidence that He will give faith in answer to our prayer, because we're living sinful lives. I mean, this has to be a real honest situation here, because how many people can truly pray to God if they're living adulterous, lying, stealing, murderous attitudes that if we got alone with God, we'd have to call Him into check and realize who we are and how we're not really representing Christ in the world, and truly not living in spirit and truth as we ought to. Because if we truly really got into praying that Christ's compassion would stream into us and the Holy Spirit would give us answer to prayers and really become the kind of Christians that we're supposed to, we would be changed and motivated to really pray for these lost souls. And that's kind of the double blessing of prayer, that first there's the desire for an increase in others to be given up totally to Christ, and we continually remind ourselves about how we need to also, in that same sense, be that way. It's a terrible blight upon the Church of Christ that there are times that there's not enough people found to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as ministers, missionaries, or even teachers of the Word in RCIA class, because we're neglectful of the importance of the gospel that we've been entrusted. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord of the harvest, and He was willing to bestow gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit among us, to those who would be filled with the Spirit and truly give the supply and distribution of those gifts as necessary to the church, if we will only pray and seek to be cooperating with Him and co-workers with Him. And it takes us to pray and plead for those laborers to be found in the harvest, whether they be men for the priesthood, men for diaconate life, women for religious vocations like nuns or sisters, or to have lay people be true teachers of the Word or examples in our church communities as members of various societies like the St. Vincent de Paul, Knights of Columbus, Daughters of Isabella, and all that other stuff that is available in the Catholic community. Because our prayer should be that the Lord would fill all of His people with such a spirit of dedication that not one among us can be found standing idle in the vineyard. Wherever there is a complaint of a lack of workers or competent helpers for God's work, prayer is the only thing that holds the promise for all of this to be provided. For where there is no work for God, for there's no work for God in the life of those of us who are living sinful and apart from the church, we all must be drawn back in and rekindled with the fire of His love. And it's one of those things where we have to really pray to Him to get this prayer done. Because prayer can be given to us to provide for all the needs and that are necessary for God's work, because the Lord of the harvest will hear. He will basically answer our prayer if we will set apart time and give ourselves to this part of our intercessory work as children of His. It'll also lead us into fellowship with His compassionate heart and really give us a knowledge of how He really wants to answer our prayers. It will elevate us to the inside of our regal position as those whose will counts for something with the God who really wants us to be co-workers in His kingdom and in His field. And it will also make us feel how truly we are really in a cooperative relationship with God. We're not just tools being used. It's not a religion, it's a relationship. We're really getting into this like we're a spouse. We're not just somebody that's a servant. We're a friend. And the share in His work really does reveal to us our value. It makes us partakers not only in the soul of real travail and desire for others, but also in the satisfaction that comes from when people truly do answer the call and really get into living the life of being a Christian. And it's in these ways that we can see that there's a greater blessing that's given in answer to our prayer that we would not otherwise have experienced, because we're too busy looking for me and mine and not really looking out for our brothers like we should. So motivated with this, I want you to kind of think about and offer up this prayer. O blessed Lord, again today you have given us another wonderful lesson to learn about prayer. And we humbly ask you to help us to see clearly the spiritual realities of which you are trying to speak to us. The harvest for souls is truly large, and the perishing are simply falling off that great harvest being unreaped because there's a lack of workers. For it waits for all the sleepy disciples to finally wake up and realize that we need to pray for laborers to come and to maybe be those laborers ourselves. O Lord, teach us to look out with a heart moved with compassion and pity, realizing that the laborers are so few. Lord, show us how terrible the sin of a lack of prayer and faith is, one of those that truly hinders your work in this world. You are the Lord of the harvest, who is able and ready to send forth many laborers into your field. Lord, you just need to show us how you indeed wait for the prayer from one of us that you want to hear and truly answer with a blessing. Because here, the disciples to whom the commission to pray has been given are the ones you want to show how you can pour down your Spirit and breathe upon each one of us, so that your compassion and the faith of your promise will rouse us to an unceasing, prevailing prayer that effectively avails much. O Lord, we do not understand how you trust such work and give such power to us who are slothful and many times unfaithful. But we thank you for all that you are teaching us, and really want to learn how to cry day and night for the laborers that you want to send forth. So, Heavenly Lord, breathe your own Spirit on all your children so that they may learn to live for this one thing alone, the kingdom and glory of our Lord, so that we may become fully awake to the faith of what our prayer can accomplish. Fill our hearts with the assurance that prayer, offered in a loving faith in the living God, will bring certain and abundant answer to the glory of your name, O Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, hopefully this helps you see the importance of moving forward in this whole work that God has set aside for each one of us, and truly awakens within you the desire to be more than a conqueror through Him who loves you. Because these are the things that are important for us. These are the things that truly transform our lives and really gets us to really hook into prayer and really see how prayer does have a definite answer. And that sometimes the waiting for the answer is the result of two things: us not being truly ready for the answer, or the laborers not being fully prepared and willing to answer the call. And if we truly will pray, the Lord of the harvest will send laborers. He will find those who are willing and able, and He will build up His church, because His church is a church that will not be prevailed over by the gates of the netherworld, but rather this church will spread like that stone seen in Daniel's vision throughout the whole world until the kingdom is everywhere. And the earth is truly the footstool of the Lord our God. And if we will truly do this, you will find that today will be a very blessed day for you.